We Got the Geek is recorded before a live studio audience.
I don't know. I'm making this up as I go.
Come out to the coast. We'll get together. Have a few laughs.
A 1, 2, 3, 4. 1, 2, 3, 4.
All right. This is Jay Stu, and I'm happy to be here at the home of my good friend of 34 years, Mr. Colin Bowden. How's it going, sir?
It's going well.
It's great to have you back on. We've been talking a lot recently. We just had our 5th anniversary of the podcast back in February.
And
we were thinking of, thank you. We're thinking of good moments, and I know you helped me out a lot. A couple years ago, we did FrostCon together, and you helped me out. You were like the photographer that day, and it was cool.
As good as I could do.
And I know we both agree we didn't need to see Naked Spider-Man that day.
No.
Now, we've been... We talk a lot about a lot of things on the podcast, like movies and comics and stuff like that. And another good thing we like to geek out about is music. And we've been doing this since pretty much day one, since we met back in the day. Before we get to that, though, I want to ask you a couple of movie-related things. And do you remember the first movie franchise we ever geeked out about together? I'll give you a hint. Walkers at school.
Indiana Jones.
Indiana Jones,
totally,
right.
Yeah.
I'm going to get your thoughts on this, because about a week ago they announced they're going to start filming a new Indiana Jones movie with Harrison Ford to come out in 2020. Like, do you think it's a good idea, or what are your thoughts on this?
Well, I don't know. I'm thinking like Gerald Ford. Like, he's too old. Like, forget it.
He's 75 now.
Well, yeah, I don't think we need to see that, really. It's done.
Well, here's the thing, and I hope it doesn't happen. He's going to die if he does this movie. He did
probably.
Force Awakens walking down a ramp and broke his leg.
Yeah.
So he likes to do his own stunts.
And then he had that plane crash thing.
Yeah.
You know. Yeah, he's... Yeah.
He should probably...
Yeah, just retire, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
He's a good body of work.
Yeah.
Good body of work, but... He really shouldn't dedicate his body to his work.
Yeah, he shouldn't do this, or he might get seriously injured.
Yeah. Okay, done. That cool. One. No more indie movies.
Yes.
I didn't even watch that, whatever it was, the Flaming Skull movie.
Oh, you never saw it?
No, I was talked out of it by Linda. She watched it and told me, she goes, really? It was bad.
Well, here's the thing. I didn't mind it, but... There was a bunch of CGI in that, CGI creatures that shouldn't have been there. It was terrible.
Yeah, well,
he looked good in it. He was still cool in it and all. But that was, again, that was 10 years ago, too, right?
Well, yeah. I take it back to the Aliens and Tech. What was that, the Cowboys and Aliens movie?
Yeah, it wasn't good.
No, just go spend some time with Callista and fly a glider.
Retire.
Yeah, or get a good script. That's all.
Cool. Now, what I wanted to ask you, we've been here at your place tonight listening to a lot of old tunes. We've known each other a long time, and I remember. Do you remember the first two singers we bonded over back in '84?
Bruce Springsteen and Rick Springfield.
That's right, which is amazing because at the time, I didn't know too much about Springsteen. To this day, he's still one of my huge favorites. We've been listening to Spotify, and you've been bringing up a lot of good songs. You've actually rediscovered a lot of stuff, from what I understand. Like, what's been the most surprising music or groups you've rediscovered since you've been on here?
I don't know. The thing is, I'm pretty much a slob when it comes to CDs and tapes and things like that, and you and I have both been collecting since... We become friends, and I've got like thousands and thousands of them.
Yeah.
I couldn't find one if you asked me to.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm stepping on them and crushing them and shit like that, and now I can just look it up at my fingertips. So it's not so much the obscure stuff that I could find, it's pretty much the freedom of just being able to look up everything, you know, at your fingertips kind of thing.
I gotta imagine, though, there's some stuff on there you haven't heard in a while that might have surprised you upon.
Yeah, well, totally, because I'm going by and I'm looking up albums and everything that we used to listen to, and what I'll do is I'll download them for like a day, and then, you know, after a while I'll go, yeah, that was nice, and then I'll delete them and then download something else and, you know, and keep it less cluttered, because, I mean, I can just always download it, so,
yeah.
you know, I've gotten back into Barney Bentall. I've gotten back into a lot of the stuff that we got into the 90s Hall & Oates and a lot of the 80s bands and albums that I know I couldn't find if I tried. So, yeah, it's nice having the freedom to look it up.
Yeah, what's been cool with you, like, even in recent years, you've always managed to, like, every time I've been with you, like, driving around with you, you've always had different music for me to listen to that I've never heard of before, even tonight, actually. But it's cool that, like, when I hung out with you last week, you had this whole 80s playlist on there that, like, what's some of the 80s songs that you might have forgotten about that you got into again?
I'm actually going to look at my phone because...
Because you're playing some good stuff even earlier tonight.
Yeah, I put a lot of... We were just listening, you and I were just watching Journey.
Yeah.
And so I was listening to Steve Perry, O'Sherry.
Yeah.
And I was like off an album called Street Talk when he did the solo thing in 1984.
Yeah. Great tune.
That was a great album. Well, not, actually, the album's kind of bad, but...
Great tune. Song was good. Great tune.
Yeah. You can't win them all. They're not all gold.
Yeah.
Where the hell is my... Hold on. We've had a couple beers. So.
Well, like, you brought up some stuff I forgot about, like Ice House, Until Tuesday, yeah. Howard Jones. And
okay, let's look at this. I've come up with a Homegrown, don't ask what that is. But then I've got Soul Alone, that's one playlist. Lone Grown, that's mostly my country. Homegrown is morally instrumental shit. And then Downgrown is my 80s list. So we got little Steve Winwood, O'Sherry, Outfield. Outfield.
Oh, the Outfield. Awesome, that was great.
And Ice House, Michael Penn, Northern Pikes. That was a good Canadian band that a lot of people forgot about.
I remember those guys, yeah.
Live. They were very popular in, like around 1991. Do you remember them, Jay?
Yeah, I'm having a hard time remembering their hit, but I remember those good. Lightning Crashes? That's right, yeah.
That's the one, yeah.
Yeah.
They did a really creepy version of that because it was, forgetting what year it was, but Columbine.
Right.
When they had the shootings.
Right.
And that song was popular at the time, and they had released a version on the radio where it was Lightning Crashes with all of the people screaming. Do you remember that?
I remember that, yeah.
That was pretty tight. Michael Penn, Hall & Oates. You got to have Hall & Oates. We got our Huey Lewis in there.
Yeah, Tell Me a Little Light. That's obscure.
Till Tuesday. You liked hearing that one earlier.
Yeah, that was pretty cool hearing that again.
Some Pearl Jam, you know. Henry Lee Summer, Tom Petty. A lot of albums I wish I didn't buy, like Rush. Hold Your Fire. I didn't really like the album, but I liked the song Time Stand Still because it had Amy Mann on it.
Great.
So now, see, look, it's on a playlist.
That's right.
No Hold Your Fire album.
Now, do you have people out there, are there bands that people are surprised you're into?
I don't know. I don't get to talk to anybody really about music.
Okay.
I'm home with the kids, and they don't want to listen to me half the time, right? Like,
right.
I influence them, and I get them into songs, but
yeah.
I think everybody pretty much knows I just pretty much like everything.
Okay, because here's one that surprised me about you. We were friends forever. I never knew you were such a big Queen fan.
Yeah, I love Queen, yeah.
They even got their tattoo on your arm.
Yeah, Freddie Mercury's design, because they were all, the whole band was, they were all pretty much... top of their game perfectionists. I don't know if you know anything about Queen.
A little bit, yeah.
Yeah, but Roger Taylor was going to be a dentist.
Oh, wow.
Brian May was an astrophysicist that had a job lined up under the direction of the Queen, believe it or not.
Oh, wow.
And he turned that down. Freddie Mercury was artistic design, and he had a bunch of success, and John Deacon was an electrical engineer. So if nobody knows this, but Live Aid... this was a funny story because if you've ever seen Queen's performance at Live Aid, it was epic. And it sounded a lot better than anybody else at that concert, and it was for a reason. Because at that time, they set up the concert, and they only had so much power that they could basically use during the concert, right? Mm. And they had to ensure that there wasn't going to be a power failure. So they were only playing at about 20% of their power.
Oh, wow.
And John Deacon actually went, before Queen went on, and rewired it so that Queen was playing like 80%.
Oh, nice.
So everyone else was like, ding, 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 ding. And then, Queen! And they sounded amazing. So, yeah, anyway, that was a tangent. Sorry.
Oh, here's probably back to a memory. I remember watching that Live Aid concert with you all day
at your
back
house,
in 85. Yeah.
Yeah. Do you remember who did the announcements for the commercials?
No. No, who was it?
Casey Kasem.
Was it? All right.
Okay. Live Aid, we're coming together.
I remember, though, the whole day they were like, will Bruce Springsteen be here? Stick around and find out. And he never was.
No.
I remember wasn't. I remember Hall & Oates singing with Mick Jagger.
Yeah.
And I remember...
Mick Jagger ripping off Tina Turner's skirt.
That's right, yeah.
Yeah.
That's right.
And there's so much... It's funny, because if you look at any old pictures of Live Aid, where they advertise all the artists that were there, you can never find any of the recordings from any of the people.
Yeah.
And I don't know if you know the story about that, but basically, half of the footage got lost in a fire.
Ah, I didn't know that.
So the stuff that you actually are seeing, like, from a country point of view, Rick Springfield was at Live Aid.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he was there with Eric Clapton.
Mm-hmm.
And... Waylon Jennings was there.
Yeah.
If you listen to country, but none of them are on the Live Aid videos.
Yeah, I know there was
because
a...
Because they don't have the footage.
Yeah, I know there's a DVD that came out just a few years ago, actually, and I remember hearing that not all the stuff was on there.
Yeah. Sad, actually, because, I don't know, it was just a time, right? Like, there was no internet, there was nothing, everybody just basically flew together to do a concert. It wasn't...
Yeah.
Like, this was... The shit. This was epic.
Yeah.
It was cool to be around for that.
Yeah, I remember that. Like, it was a big deal. Like, it was epic, and it was in England, and...
It was in England, and it was here, yeah. And then they had two concerts going on simultaneously.
It was
unprecedented. And Bob Geldof won the Nobel Peace Prize for that.
I remember that,
but he also went into the shitter because of financial difficulties and ruin.
Yeah.
But, you know, well done, Bob.
Yeah. Getting back to Queen, I know I'm not the biggest Queen fan. I like weird songs by Queen for some reason. Have you ever seen the movie Highlander?
Yes.
And like they're
Great
all
soundtrack,
they're the soundtrack.
Yeah.
Like Princes of the Universe, I think is the big tune they had in that. And Who Wants to Live Forever was from that too.
That's an amazing song.
Yeah, it's a great album. Like right up to the last album they did with Freddie was cool. Like I remember. Show Must Go On was a great tune by those guys.
Show Must Go On was right when he was in the shitter.
Like, yeah.
Sick.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then after that, there was a 3-4 year pause, and then they came out with Made in Heaven, which was pieced together. Brian May pieced the album together from leftover Freddie bits and pieces.
Yeah.
Because at that point, he was so sick that he was in a hospital bed. But he would drink glasses of vodka to be able to get out of the bed and pull himself up to the mic to do the vocals for the last part of that album.
Nice. Now, you got to see them, like, recently, right? Like, who was the lead singer? I don't even remember.
Adam Lambert.
Okay.
Lambert.
It was pretty good?
It was good, except for the Brian May guitar solo. But I like Brian May. I really do. But 21 minutes is my limit.
Yeah.
For
a guitar solo.
Yes.
A lot of stamina, I would imagine, then, for that.
Yeah, I was pretty proud of myself.
Well, not you. Oh, man.
But, no, it was a good concert. But, like I said, cut out that guitar solo, and you could have stuck in, like, the whole Works album, like, Radio Gaga and everything all the way through, I'm sure, instead of that. But
wow. Anyway. Now, I got to ask you... I know we've been to a ton of concerts together, and you've seen stuff, too. Like, do you have a favorite concert of all the stuff you've seen?
No, I can't really say.
No? Okay.
No, I can't. There's too many, and they're all good in their own way.
Yeah.
Favorite person that I've ever met, like celebrity concert, that kind of thing, Johnny Cash.
That's cool.
That was that one.
Cool.
But, no, I've... No, I'm like you. I many, many different people that I like. I couldn't nail it down to one. Could you?
I could maybe think of a few that I love the most. One of the ones that stand out in my mind was when we saw Billy Joel in Hamilton in 1990. from the Stormfront tour.
Yeah.
He was in such like a good mood that night. You could tell, like, he was like cracking jokes.
Good energy.
Only time I ever got to hear "And So It Goes" live, and just making fun of stuff. Like, people would throw those glow in the dark sticks on the stage, and you would immediately make fun of them and stuff like that.
Yeah, no, it was good.
And then I had a good time when we got to see Colin Hay in Toronto.
That was going to be the one that I said probably that was one of my favorites. Small venue.
Yeah.
And then when we're basically sitting there having a beer in a place that's not that much bigger than my backyard, seeing him set up his own shit and everything, because he's just doing it acoustically, and the acoustics were beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
The venue was beautiful. It was quiet. Except for that other guy that was talking to him afterwards, but the Colin Hay guy. But it was very. I got chills a lot that night just because of his voice and because of being so intimate. So I agree. Definitely. That's one of my favorite shows too.
Cool. We're gonna take a quick break and throw a commercial on, and when we come back, I want to ask you about the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. So we'll come back right after that.
Okay.
And now, a word from our sponsors.
Sketchbook Comics and Games is a store that has something awesome for everyone. In addition to selling comics, board games, and action figures, there are tables for open gaming. Wednesday nights, Sketchbook features game night starting at 6 p.m. Friday through Sunday, Sketchbook is the place to be for Magic the Gathering. The store is located at 224 Glenridge Avenue, Unit 9 in St. Catharines. Come on down for all your geek comic book needs.
All right, so we're back here at Colin's house with Colin. We're having a few drinks. And I want to ask you about the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Like, there's a few bands in there that got in there this year. I wanted to ask your opinion on them, what you think of them, whether or not they deserve to be in there. Because sometimes they're weird about the Hall of Fame. Like,
they are. It used to be a lot more stringent in their criteria.
Well, yeah. The major thing was your first album had to come out 25 years ago. If it didn't, you're not getting in. But there's a bunch of guys that haven't been in there. Like, they won't let the Monkees in. Like, they've adamantly said the Monkees aren't getting into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Tons of bands from the 70s that aren't in there yet.
Yeah.
This year, though, like, a lot of bands, a lot of nominations are from the 60s and 70s, so I'm going to get your opinion, see if they should be in there. First of all, the Moody Blues finally got in. What do you think of that?
Moody Blues, I can't say that I like their stuff enough that I've listened to it enough that I can tell whether they'd be worthy or not.
Yeah.
I really don't. You know, Nights in White Satin, great album. That whole album, Tuesday Afternoon, you know, yeah, they were good. They were kind of approaching Procol Harum on a little more acid.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I don't think they're necessarily Hall of Fame as far as I'm concerned, but
yeah. Well, I mean, that song is probably what they're best known for. I remember
It's nice to have a greatest hits that's not like a 45, right?
Yeah.
The flip side.
Well, I remember
at least 10 songs.
Yeah.
Please.
I remember in the 80s they had a song, I can't remember what it was called, even. That's how much it leaves my head. It started off with Once Upon a Time.
Yeah, that was it. Yeah. Once Upon a Time. And
yeah, that one.
Yeah, that sucked, too. Yeah. No. Next one.
Dire Straits,
yes.
Okay.
Mark Knopfler's contributed too much, not necessarily. I'm judging him now on his own accolades as well. Dire Straits were. Well, it was fronting. That was his band, yeah. So
yeah, for sure.
I would definitely say, yeah, that they've. I would like to see them.
Now, here's the thing. Like, I don't know what your opinion is on this, but he hasn't agreed to perform on the award show yet, which would be cool because they haven't done anything since the 90s together.
No, like I said, he was an artist, and Dire Straits was his platform.
Yeah.
That was it. Like, he's too many artists. Like, Chet Atkins played with him and recorded with him. Like, Chet Atkins was probably the greatest guitarist that's ever been.
Yeah.
And, he deserves it. Yeah.
I was thinking, like, Brothers in Arms was big when we were, like, starting to be friends. I rediscovered that one recently, and the song Brothers in Arms is cool. Like,
Brothers in Arms, and then
So Far Away.
So Far Away, and then they also had Walk of Life on there. And
Money for Nothing.
Yeah, Money for Nothing.
Do you remember, I'm going to bring this up, do you remember when, going back to Live Aid when they were singing with Sting. Do you remember what my dad was?
Yeah, your dad thought he wanted his own TV.
That's right.
Instead of MTV.
That's right.
We argued about it.
We did. He didn't understand.
Oh, he said own TV. He don't want his own TV.
I remember the album he did after Dire Straits, which had Darling Pretty on it.
Mm-hmm.
That was a great album.
Golden Heart.
Golden Heart, yeah, it was a great album.
Yeah, that was a good album. He did a musical score for Princess Bride.
That's right.
You know about that?
Yeah, I remember that.
So yeah, that's going back some.
Do you remember going back a bit even further? The episode of Miami Vice where they played Brothers in Arms and they found the guy
buried the wall reading the newspaper.
Yeah,
it was trippy.
Yeah, I think that was the name of the episode too, Brothers in Arms.
I thought it was going to be trippy. I was going to say, no, it was cool.
Oh, wow. What about the Cars? They're also in this year.
I wouldn't say they'd be one of my first choices, though.
Right.
No. Okay. They had some great songs, but I mean, you know, then you got to start, like, you know, who else are we going to let in? Hamilton, Joe Frank, and Reynolds? Like, you know, one-hit wonders and stuff.
Oh, well, yeah, one-hit wonders, I get, wouldn't be in there.
No, I know. But the Cars had a lot of good songs, but...
Yeah.
I'm probably not feeling them at the top of the list.
Yeah, I like them too. I like them a lot, but I don't know if
I almost think they would be too techno. I know that sounds silly, but that's not as rock and roll to me as it is contemporary pop. Well, I wouldn't call it rock and roll.
That whole Heartbeat City album where they had all their hits was done with drum machines.
Candy O, going all the way back. All that stuff had a lot of synthesized crap on it. And so.
Yeah.
And Rick Ocasek, who actually dressed like more of a pop artist than you would guess as a rock artist, too. He looked like he was wearing tinfoil jackets half the time.
That's right, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, so no, not so much.
All right, and the last one off the top of my head is Bon Jovi. They're in this year as well. I can get where they're coming from with them. Like they've been eligible for like 5 or 6 years. Actually, this is the first time they got in.
They've been around a long time. I know it doesn't really seem like it, but
the early '80s.
John Bon Jovi is a great songwriter,
mm-hmm.
and he's a good looking guy. He's got the personality. He's got like the persona, and he's got the image. He's got that almost squeaky clean Bruce Springsteen kind of image, where all American boy, and you know, and did some great work on his own with the Young Guns soundtrack and wrote some really good songs. And yeah, I could actually see him going in. Yeah, they've got enough rock anthems that I think they'd be eligible.
Yeah, and we were talking earlier, I guess Richie Sambora has been out of the band for 3 or 4 years, and the guy that replaced him was some dude we met, like, in the 80s.
Phil X, yes. He was a cool guy, and now he plays for Bon Jovi, so that's cool. It's kind of like...
Yeah. I want to bring this up to you as well, because they get this really weird thing at the Hall of Fame where not all the members of the bands get in. Like, they always go for whoever was the original lineup, but then they're really picky with who they pick with the bands later on. Because Kiss, for example, had, like, a ton of guys in the band after Peter, Chris, and Ace Frehley left.
Mm-hmm.
But none of those guys were allowed in the hall. They're just the four original guys.
Right.
And I think they were a little picky with Bon Jovi, too, as well, this year. Like,
was it Tico?
No, he got it. But, like, what do you think of that? Like, should all members of the band ever get in, or, like, for stuff like that, or?
Well, I think you basically, if you're going to start a band like Menudo...
Or
something like that, where the numbers change, or, you know, oh, look, the four tops are playing.
Right.
None of the original members.
Mm-hmm.
None of them. But they're still rocking the four tops.
Yeah.
Four tops are in the Motown Hall of Fame.
Right. That's true. Well,
so why list everybody individually? Like, why not just say the band is in the Hall of Fame?
Yeah.
I don't give a... if you're in it or not.
Exactly.
You know, like, think about the Rolling Stones, okay? Rolling Stones, are they in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame?
They were one of the first bands to get in.
Yes, they are.
But
Brian Jones, he's dead. Ian Stewart, he played on most of their tracks.
I don't know who's in there with them, though, like, if Brian Stewart made it in.
Brian Jones. No, Brian Jones.
Brian Jones. I don't know if those guys made it in, though.
Well,
or if
he
it was
died
just...
before they even really got...
Yeah, I know Phil Wyman got in, but by that point, I think he was out of the band and stuff
was,
like that.
Yeah, he was. So it's really kind of hard to say, but just let the band in.
Exactly, yeah.
You were in the band, that's great. You know, like, that's life. As far as I'm concerned, if you haven't changed the name of the band,
yeah,
the band is still functioning.
Exactly.
So that's where I stand on that.
Yeah, for sure. I don't, like, just as a personal thought, I just don't understand where they pick out individual members from each band that actually get to be in the Hall of Fame. And
well, do you remember a number of years ago in the wake... Sony Music Canada was going, and SoCan was going, about naming Canadian content for albums, right?
That's right, yeah.
So it was all, like, pretty much divided as to, well, you know, you're not Canadian because you don't have enough Canadian content there.
I know, I remember, because it was Bryan Adams that, when he had that album Waking Up the Neighbors, he was qualified as not Canadian enough.
Not Canadian, yeah. Because it was Tom Lord Elg.
No, it was
Mutt Lang.
Yeah.
Mutt Lang was working with him.
Yeah.
And he was, too American. Jim Vallance was Canadian, but he wasn't writing with him anymore.
That's right, yeah.
So, yeah, it went down to, that it wasn't going to be Canadian.
But that was a weird rule, man.
Well, it is a weird rule, but if you think about it, it's kind of the same thing with the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
True.
You don't have the players we like, or, you know, if you weren't there at the epic time when we had their most successful period, you don't qualify.
Yeah. Oh, it's weird. Last year when ELO got in, like, there was one of the guys that got in with Jeff Lynne only played on the first album. And then, like, everyone from the 70s wasn't in the Hall of Fame. It was Jeff Lynne, the guy that played with him on the first album, and another guy that played with him. Like,
but, you know what? Like, as far as a productive band goes, ELO is Jeff Lynne.
Oh, yeah.
Like, those other artists are disposable, really.
Right.
Unless you're touring, then you kind of need them. But for the most part, no. Like, when you look at it now, he's touring this summer, and it's Jeff Lynne's ELO.
Exactly, yeah.
Because that whole sound of a whole orchestra and everything behind him was... That came out of his mind.
Yeah.
So, anyway, sorry.
No, that's fine. Now, speaking of the Hall of Fame, last year... Journey got in, and they reunited with Steve Perry, which was cool that he was there.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel kind of cheated that he didn't sing with them at the show. Like, wouldn't that have been... What do you think? Would that have been cool, or...?
Well, sure, it would have been cool, but, you know, you can pray for a Beatles reunion, too. But
true.
They're in the Hall of Fame, and they wouldn't have played together even if, you know, Chapman had a bad day in 1980. Like, they wouldn't have done it. Like, there was no Beatles reunion.
Right.
They were only... They broke up in 71, and they were never going to play together again.
All right, McCartney didn't even show up for the Beatles getting inducted into the Hall of Fame.
So, you know, it's what was, right?
Yeah.
They were epic. They're great. They should be regarded as such, and then let it go.
It was awesome, though. Like, Steve Perry had such an awesome speech last year, though. Like, you could tell he was happy to be there. Just
It's sad. You know, some bridges you just can't cross again, right?
Yeah.
It would have been terrific. Like, they were an epic band. He's an astounding vocalist, and it's sad that they couldn't. I blame the guitarist, actually.
Oh, Neil Sean?
Yeah, he looks like a tool.
Well, he was the only guy that was like praising Steve Perry during this whole thing. Like, none of the other guys said anything.
Really?
Yeah. Like, he was so excited Perry was going to be there, and he was hoping they would play together.
Yeah, but. Perry probably just went, he's an asshole, so I don't want to play with him. And
like, seriously, I don't know, when's the last time we heard anything from Steve Perry? Probably the 90s, maybe?
Yeah, I looked up something on YouTube, actually. I was trying to find some shit, and I don't know, I think he sang at a fucking wedding or something. Oh, pardon, I'm sorry.
That's all right, we swear on the show,
okay,
it's
cool.
Fine.
But it was like some fucking wedding. Like, I'm like, seriously? Like, that's all we're going to get from you? I saw that from Dave Mason, too. I was trying to find out
right,
Dave Mason.
Right.
He had one of the best songs of the 1970s.
Oh, Rest Assured? What was it called?
We Just Disagree.
And he's in the Hall of Fame for Traffic.
And he was in Traffic, right? Yeah. Yes, it was so beautiful. Anyway, I looked him up, too. Same thing, singing it in a wedding.
Oh, man, that's terrible.
Well, but it's probably not a good wedding song to sing.
No.
At a wedding.
No.
So we just disagree, but anyway.
Yeah, no, you're right. That's too bad. Like, he had, like I said, he had a great speech, and he's one of those great rock voices, and it just would have been cool if he would have come out for one of the songs they did that night.
Yeah. It would have been.
Yeah. I mean, great band.
I like that little new guy.
Yeah, he sounds just like him.
Sounds like him. And you know what? I've even noticed during watching him during the performance, too, that he's picked up some of Steve Perry's facial mannerisms.
Yeah, he has, actually.
That's weird.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
But, no, that's great. You know, the music's greater than the band.
True, yeah.
It's one of those situations that you got to look at the music's greater than the band. And the sum is also greater than its parts, right? Mm-hmm. So, yeah. Yeah. If they can keep the music alive and tour, and you know, if we have a Garfunkel, Messina, and Oates concert, you know, where we bring all the people who can't seem to find an audience anymore,
yeah,
bring it together. No,
I hear you. That's cool. All right, well, we'll come back after this commercial break, and we'll conclude the show and talk a little bit more music and whatever comes up.
Hold on, true believers. There's more We Got the Geek after these words.
Kristen Hunter, also known as Kiki, is a Canadian artist specializing in polymer clay creations. Being a geek at heart, most of her work is nerd-themed. Kristen has several lines of geeky creations, including steampunk, comic, and video game-inspired work, as well as sushi-themed jewelry. Kristen is always excited to create the perfect custom piece for any theme or occasion. Please check out her website at kikiscustomcreations.com.
Well, I gotta say thank you for having me over tonight. It's been really cool reminiscing about music, because like I said, we've been doing it since day one of our 34-year-old friendship.
Yeah, it's like an American Bandstand kind of thing.
That's right. We've been to so many concerts and listened to so many albums together, and it's been awesome, man.
The stories that we could tell that no one wants to hear.
Yes, exactly. And we've done a whole podcast about that now.
Oh, yeah.
So we can play that, and people can listen to our songs about Hall of Famers and music and crap.
And things that don't matter to everybody, but matter to the people that count.
That's right.
Well, thank you for having me, Jay.
Oh, thanks for having me over, and we'll get you on again, and thanks for this and for helping us out at FrostCon 3 years ago. And we're going to down our drinks, and we'll wrap up the podcast.
I would like to say, before you go, until next time, keep your feet on the ground and keep reaching for the stars.
Well, thank you, Casey. Were you looking at your watch when you said that? All right, thanks, man. I appreciate it.
Thanks for listening. To hear more We Got the Geek, check us out at www.wegotthegeek.com and on iTunes.